I'm so grateful to have my mom with us today and to share this day with you. I have three significant mothers in my life. My mother outlaw, I mean in-law, my mother-in-law, my mom, and my wife. And so I thought rather than getting deep on theology today, which we will go into the Word, as we just heard, I will focus on moms and the blessing that they are in our life. Jesus had a close relationship with his mother, his earthly mother. And if you think about the incredible condescension that it took for God to come and be born flesh and blood, and to have that vulnerability, all moms know that that newborn baby in their arms is one of the most vulnerable things in the world. It needs so much beyond just physical sustenance. It needs nurturing. They need cuddling. They need the warmth. And they need the sense of their mother, the smells of their mom to survive and thrive. And all of the research that's been done about babies who have been placed apart from their moms, it's incredible how God created us with that ability, created moms with that ability to care for their newborn. Well, tomorrow is Mother's Day, and we have a lady named Ann Jarvis to thank for that. Ann Jarvis was an activist, and she was born during the Civil War, but she felt a burden on her heart to make a day special in America, specifically for moms. But that wasn't the first Mother's Day that they ever had. In fact, it goes back to ancient Greece, when paying tribute to moms was a form of worship. And of course, they had this for the great mother of the gods, and it was celebrated in the Ides of March throughout Asia Minor. And for Christianity, Mothering Sunday was a mid-Lent Sunday, and gifts were offered at the altar to the church and to worshipers' mothers. So the idea of motherhood and worship has been fused together within Christianity. Of course, in that tradition, it's a little different as they understand that identity of Mary differently than we do. But I'll have three main points in this sermon today. First, we looked at in the scripture Jesus' example and the relationship that he had with his mother. Then we'll look at God's help for moms. And every mother knows that it takes godly strength to do the things that you do, to handle the tasks that you are meant to handle. And we'll look at the biblical principles and the biblical ideals that mothers are entrusted to pass on to their children. And then we'll look at a legacy that endures, how a life well lived can be the greatest gift that someone can give to their mothers. At the cross, we have many witnesses there. We have those that had mocked Jesus, those that had derided him, spat on him, and called him many names. But we also have at the cross his very dear mother and the disciples. And it describes here that his mother, I'm reading from John 19, 25, his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw that his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, we understand that to be John the disciple, John the beloved, as he's known. Many times in the Gospel of John, when he refers to himself, he's talking about the disciple whom he loved. That's the term that John gives for himself. And so John is there. And Jesus, looking down upon the scene with his mother there, and moms, I don't know how you would endure seeing your son suffer as much as Jesus suffered. Must have torn her heart to witness the and to know also that He is doing this willingly. He is allowing this to happen. And so John is bringing her an inspiration. It tells us that he brings her back to witness the final moments of Jesus' life. And Jesus, using a term of endearment that he used earlier in the Gospel of John at the wedding at Cana, not a derogatory term by calling her just any old woman, but saying, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And there's so much implied in that instruction. There's so much that we read into that instruction. But John, in this verse 27, gives us the explicit meaning of what Jesus meant. He says, "From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household." In other words, he cared for her as his own mother. And as a first cousin to Jesus and as a family of Jesus, this is an appropriate thing to consider. But I thought that Jesus had brothers and sisters. Why wouldn't Jesus entrust this care to them? The SDA Bible Commentary gives us this insight. Jesus' older brothers, sons of Joseph by a former marriage, did not at this time believe in him. And he may have felt that their attitude toward Mary would have been critical and unsympathetic as it had been towards him. And so he didn't feel like he could trust his siblings with this very important instruction. Another passage that we can look to from the Desire of Ages describes it even further. "O pitiful, loving Savior, amid all his physical pain and mental anguish, he had a thoughtful care for his mother. He had no money with which to provide for her comfort, but he was enshrined in the heart of John, and he gave his mother to him as a precious legacy. Thus, he provided her, for her that which she most needed, the tender sympathy of one who loved her because she loved Jesus. And in receiving her as a sacred trust, John was receiving a great blessing. She was a constant reminder of his beloved master." And so this relationship was mutually beneficial, both to Mary and to John. Think of Mary and the visit by the angel Gabriel. Visited her as a betrothed, engaged woman, and gives her this tense news that she was to bear the Son of God. What an overwhelming thing for any woman to go through. But she handles it with the grace that God provides to her. And she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." But imagine knowing this, that this man, this baby that she is raising, is the Son of God. What an incredible burden to have. And so when she's raising young Jesus, she is instructing him in what the rabbis would have instructed him in the law of Moses. Ellen White writes, "The child Jesus did not receive instruction in the synagogue schools. His mother was his first human teacher. From her lips and from the scrolls of the prophets, he learned of heavenly things. The very words which he himself had spoken to Moses for Israel, he was now taught at his mother's knee." Just imagine that. What an incredible arc of humanity that Jesus enshrined. As he advanced from childhood to youth, he did not seek the schools of the rabbis. He needed not the education to be obtained from such sources, for God was his instructor. And so when he first went to the Passover, we see him going to the temple and amazing the Pharisees and Sadducees and the priests with his knowledge that had been imparted to him from his mom with the help of God. God's help for moms. Have you ever felt like at the end of the day, you just want to shut the door and throw them in the toy room and say, There's Pop-Tarts in the fridge, right? Dinner, boil some water and make some ramen. Even that has some risk involved with it. God could not be everywhere, and so he made mothers. That's an old Jewish proverb. This is the task that is laid out for mothers in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. It's interesting that Barna has done research about households of faith. And throughout their research and studying Christian homes, one of the key components that came out of that research was that the spiritual nurturing of children is highlighted by the mother. In fact, they came up with these key points from their research. Number one, moms are primary activity and conversation partners for teens. Isn't that interesting? Mom, have you ever thought about that? Maybe it's not so evident. Maybe your team seems aloof, but moms, you are who teens go to for the primary activity and conversation. Now, dads, you're not off the hook. It'd be easier for us to say, go talk to mom about that, especially if we have daughters, right, dads? But teens go to moms for tough conversations and personal support. Moms, have you found that to be true in your lives? Are you able to listen without judging to your teens and handle their questions of skepticism with a understanding that perhaps they're asking questions to seek your advice, to go to the next level in their milestones of faith? And mothers are the main spiritual coaches for teens. That's incredible to think about, that their moms are depended on by teens and by children to be that spiritual coach. And so you have a big task ahead of you, moms, but you're not alone in it. With deep earnestness, the mother of Jesus watched the unfolding of his powers and beheld the impress of perfection upon his character. With delight, she sought to encourage that bright, receptive mind. Through the Holy Spirit, she received wisdom to cooperate with the heavenly agencies in the development of this child who could claim only God as his father. Wow. What a sense of comfort for moms to understand that Mary, who was raising the Son of God, had his help. And all of our children are sons and daughters of God, aren't they? And so, moms, you have help from on high to accomplish the tasks. Because this is the instruction: train up a child in the way he or she should go. Even when they are old, they will not depart from it. A promise from the wisdom of Solomon. And if you think you have it tough, let me introduce you to Susanna Wesley, the mother of Methodism. Let's just have a guess as to how many children Susanna had. Let me hear it. How many children did she have? Sorry? You knew that. Good for you. Good. You were guessing? That was it. Susanna Wesley, 19 children. Moms. Talk about being fertile, right? Incredible. But remember this. Sorry, I apologize. Susanna was 19 when she had... I'm sorry, Sophie. It was 25 children. I'm sorry. Looking here at my notes, 25 children. At the age of 13, Susanna stopped attending her father's church and she joined the official Church of England. She's known as the mother of Methodism. But remember this, 9 of her children died as infants. Oh, and 4 of the children who died were twins. And so 2 sets of twins passed away. What a heartbreak. A maid had accidentally smothered one child. At her death, only 8 of her children were still alive. But her sons, The Wesley brothers founded Methodism, and so she's known as the mother of Methodism. Here's some more counsel from the Adventist home. How sweet to the careworn mother is the consciousness of such a friend in all her difficulties. If mothers would go to Christ more frequently and trust Him more fully, their burdens would be easier and they would find rest to their souls. Wow. What incredible counsel for us, especially as mothers. Face the test every single day. And those of you moms who are also working, you have an added bonus. A legacy that endures. The approval of God rests with loving assurance upon children and youth who cheerfully take their part in the duties of the household, sharing the burdens of father and mother. Such children will go out from the home to be useful members of society. That's from Desire of Ages in the context of Jesus growing up as a child who helped his mom and dad with the duties in the home. And by that, we can have a legacy to our mom. You want to have a Mother's Day gift for your mom? Sweep the kitchen. Empty the dishwasher. I'm hearing amens out there from the moms. Go the extra mile. And as an added bonus, do it with a smile. Without being like, oh. Don't be like this man. This is President Bokassa of the Central African Republic. Now, in 1971, he thought he was going to have a good Mother's Day. And he ordered that all mothers, regardless of their crimes, be pardoned and freed from prison. And on the other hand, in the same executive order, he ordered that all criminals who were jailed for crimes against their mothers to be executed. He himself was indicted, and he had many problems in his life. Don't be like him. Be like the scriptures encourage us to. This could be applied to sons or daughters. My son, my daughter, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. We know who Solomon's mother was, right? Incredible story behind all of that. His father, even. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 23:22. And then, of course, from the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. That honor that is spoken of in the commandment has to do with living your life in a way that they take honor and not shame from their children, from their offspring. Another quote from the Desire of Ages, those who follow Christ will feel that it is a part of their religion to respect and provide for their parents. From the heart where his love is cherished, father and mother will never fail of receiving thoughtful care and tender sympathy. This is regarding the example of Jesus in entrusting John with his mother. Remember that song, Amazing Grace? Its author is John Newton. But he wasn't always a Christian. In fact, for many years, he was a drunkard and a slave ship captain. But you can picture an old woman with a halo of silvered hair who had hot tears flowing down her furrowed cheeks. Her worn hands busy over a washboard in a room of poverty, praying for her son, John, who ran away from home in his teens to become a sailor. John, the very wicked man, his mother was praying always that her son might be of service to God. The mother believed in two things, the power of prayer and the reformation of her son. God answered the prayer by working a miracle in the heart of John Newton, who became a strong, outspoken abolitionist and eventually led, with the help of William Wilberforce, to the abolition of slavery in England. Have your children left the message of God? Have they left your legacy? Pray for them. Pray, pray, pray. While there's breath in their lungs, there is hope from God. Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. If you've ever had a chance to talk with my mom, you know that her 87 years have been filled with incredible blessings and incredible heartache as well. Growing up during World War II and German-occupied Holland, she remembers the air raids, and she remembers the various family that would come through their home to seek shelter. She remembers how her father got a copy of The Great Controversy and began reading that book and changed from being a Dutch communist, converted to a Seventh-day Adventist. My mom tells me that on the day that her mother was baptized, she was pregnant with my mom, and my mom is named Ellen after Ellen G. White. She had a rough upbringing, being injured by several falls when she was young, and being the third out of seven children. Is that right? She was the third out of seven children. She had brothers who would ask, hey, what's that over there? And take stuff off of her plate. In the war times, you know, she has had an incredible life. She met my father in London, England. And they had two boys, one born in London, one born in New York, myself born in Los Angeles. At the time I was born, before my birth, in fact, she was pregnant with me and my middle brother, Amos, took a motorcycle into the Azusa Hills and had an accident where he lost his life. And my mom dealt with the grief of that loss while holding me, by bearing me. I'd like to honor my mom right now. Thank you, Mom. I love you so much. I'm glad that you're here today. My brother, I'm jealous of him. He's actually visiting Holland right now, and he's posting pictures of all my cousins over there, and he actually visited the street where my mom was born in The Hague in Holland. And when he comes back, you can ask him more about that incredible trip. I'd like to also honor another important mother in my life, my wife. Thank you so much. You're an incredible mom. You have been a source of encouragement to me as a father, and you have raised our children. I can see what Barna research shows. I can see it in our home. You have called the children to worship, and you have sat with them and taught them Bible verses, and I know you learned that from your mother as well, and our children have an incredible gift in you. So thank you very much for all that you do as a mom. I am dressed today as a result of my wife's choosing of my clothes. So she's kind of my mom too. So guess it worked. How is it? Leave and cleave, right? Is that how it goes? And so we've seen today that we can follow Jesus' example and be a legacy to our parents. We can also seek help when we are parenting. And we can have a legacy that endures. So tomorrow, on the day when you go and search for a card, or when you contact your mom, or when you practice Mother's Day every single day, because it should be every single day that we enjoy our moms and our mothers, let's leave her a legacy of honor that we can cherish. And as an epilogue to the story in John 19, we know that John took Mary, and after the Assumption, John had her in his household, and she was with him throughout his missionary journeys, and she eventually perished and died in Ephesus, where John was the pastor of that church. Let's follow Jesus' example and honor our mothers by being a legacy for Jesus.